start that. I didn't need correcting.
Shut up! Order!
Order! Let's start off as we need to go on.
We can see a better future.
So it's not a competition who can shout the loudest.
Hello, I'm Brandon, and you're listening to the Left Wingers podcast. We are an unashamedly left-wing political podcast made by activists for activists. Welcome to another episode of Whinging Wednesday. Every Whinging Wednesday, we give you our hot takes on the week's news stories, play games, and respond to what you, our listeners, have to say.
But before we get on to today's news, we've got to talk about our fantastic reviews that you, the Left Wingers, have been giving us. We really appreciate the community. We love everyone that's listening at the minute. And we want to thank especially some people who have written some fantastic things about us on Spotify, on Google Play, on Apple Podcasts, and of course, just on Twitter. So first one we want to draw attention to is somebody who's just said, just started listening to the Left Wingers, and I find them quite informative and insightful. Keep up the good work, folks. So thank you to the person that said that. Unfortunately, we only have name, like a kind of letter number combination. But we just want to say we read it and it made us all really happy. And, you know, thank you so much.
Yeah, so here's another one. It's actually got a title, which when I first read it, I thought it said terrible podcast, terrible people. and I've never been so glad to reread something. It says terrific podcast, terrific people, young people setting out to do a podcast to keep others informed. How well we do that is obviously up for debate, but I'm grateful that this person says that we are informative. Great, well spoken. That's from Jay Allen 1207. Thank you very much for that review.
I think we should have terrible podcast, terrible people as an advert for the Left Wingers. Obviously that person didn't say that, and we've yet to have a review that says that, but I do think it would be quite funny to do some ads where it's just like a terrible, and you could get the person that has X Factor to do the like sound, like a terrible podcast by terrible people. The Left Wingers. Anyway, just a thought.
Yeah. Okay. Another really lovely one that we've got is from Josh MA_. He says, what a podcast, inspirational podcast by a group of young left-wing activists from the UK while we're subscribing to. Thank you so much. That's such a lovely thing to say.
I think that one too, though, could be changed if you put if you took out the exclamation point and put a question mark. We should do an entire episode where we just change reviews to make them like sound dodgy. this person chats, then thank you so much, Josh. We really appreciate the fact that you've written lovely things about us. However, if perchance your hand slipped when you were typing your review and it actually was what a podcast ? It wouldn't have the ring that what a podcast ! has. It'd be like what a podcast.
Yeah, we should do an episode where we just convert 5-star reviews into 1-star reviews. that's the entire episode.
We should do that. That's a summer idea, definitely.
I'm going to finish off with the last one just because I think I know who this person is. One of my good friends, Simran, who put, loved listening to the episode. So informative. Hope lots more episodes continue. Sure. Yeah, we're going to keep going as long as people can stand us. The guests so far have been great to listen to with fab hosts, and I think that's a really nice one to end on.
Did you have a dodgy one that you wanted to say, Brandon?
So on Apple Podcasts, we've got 14 fantastic, lovely reviews, 5 stars, and then we've got just the one little snake who gave us a 1-star right at the beginning of when we first made the podcast.
Tell him how it is, Brandon.
And I just want to say, whoever you are, drop the anon. So I can't say this seriously. Drop the anonymity, okay? We're all friends here, unless you're our enemy, right? Please come out and say what it is that makes our podcast so terrible that you want to snake on us like you have and give us a 1-star. I just want to know. It's really dragging down our average. That's all I've got to say about this.
I thought you were worried about it.
I'm very worried about it. It keeps me up at night.
Yeah, so Brandon's mum, if you could stop doing that, we'd really appreciate it.
Honestly. I wouldn't be surprised.
No, of course, we're just kidding. All the mums of the Leckham just are very supportive, as we all know. But whoever this guy is, we've called him out now. This person.
Yeah.
This no name.
No name. I bet we're going to get loads of one stars now. No, but please, if you like our podcast, if you like what we do, please give us all the stars. Like, we want to collect them all, right? Because it helps people find us easier. It means that we might get promoted on Apple Podcasts if we get lots of nice ones. I think it pushes us up the search list when you search for podcasts on a streaming platform. So that's obviously helpful too. But yeah, just overall, if you could leave us a review on anything, anywhere that you get your podcast from, that'd be much appreciated. I think because we're on a positive note at the moment, we're going to continue it. And we're going to go to Sean, who's been part of a particular program within the Labour Party that we'd love for her to kind of explain what that experience has been like. Sean, what is the Future Candidates program?
I really wanted to talk about this on the podcast. I'm really excited I get the opportunity to. So the Future Candidates program has been going for a couple of years now. It's basically just something for Labour activists, Labour members who want to potentially maybe consider putting themselves forward for, you know, like a role in the future, whether it be councillor, MP, you know, and everything in between. So yeah, it's basically a programme where we learn campaigning skills and we just improve on all of the little things here and there that you need to know and need to be good at doing if you're running for candidacy. So, you know, things like marketing and sort of getting out the right literature and how to canvass effectively. We've done so many sessions throughout the year and they've been so informative. I've learned so much. And after the 9 months, I really do feel like I've come out of it a better campaigner. And like, I'm just so glad that I took the opportunity to sign up, and obviously I was so lucky to get accepted onto it, and then to just got the news that I've passed. So that's really great, and that's something that I'm really proud of, and it's something I'll be able to sort of, when I one day kind of go into running in elections myself, and kind of put on my, you know, my leaflets and say, yeah, I did the Future Candidates program. And we've actually had a lot of the sort of current Labour councillors across the country and a couple of MPs did the programme as well. So that's really comforting and quite reassuring to kind of think that we've got current representatives that have done that programme that I've just completed successfully. So yeah, it's great. I really would recommend it to anyone thinking of doing it.
Well, congratulations, Sean. We're really proud of you. We're a bunch of young people that I think celebrate the successes of our teammates and people that we work with. I don't think there's never been a podcast of like, you know, everyone's in a order or like, no, it's not like that. So everyone's supporting each other. We just want everyone to do the best that they can. And whether that's, you know, becoming Left Wing's guest producer or becoming the Prime Minister, we back you 100% if you're part of our community. And Sean, big things are going to happen for you, no doubt. And I'm glad that they picked you. And I'm glad that you learned so much. And that's, I think it's sometimes very difficult to talk about Labour internal politics all the time because it can be quite negative, but this seems like a very good story. It's worth also saying that aside from the Future Candidates programme, the Joe Cox Leadership programme, the Bernie Grant programme, there are tons of good things for people to get involved in. Just have a little Google the Young Fabians as well. I have to promote them. They've got some really good programmes on at the minute. So if you want to learn about getting involved, you have to do a little bit of digging, but the resources are definitely there if you want them. Sean, could you tell us something that you learned that you maybe think a left-winger out there wouldn't know?
Oh, let's have a little dig around in the memory bank.
Okay, while she does that, I just have to say, so we're recording this now and we have little photos of each other, like on a Zoom. And in the background of Sean's one, there's a lightsaber.
There is. I can't believe I didn't see that.
Yeah, no, there is. So while Sean's preparing her answer for this, which is Don't be embarrassed, Sean. I love Star Wars.
I love Star Wars so much.
We love Star Wars. You're in like a lovely... So Sean essentially had to, just to clarify, had to move rooms because we had bad audio reception. So she's done that now, so it's all good. But I just nearly noticed that in the background, because, you know, obviously we've had like a long lockdown, and in lockdown everyone was doing meetings, and then we had to kind of blur the background. But Sean has not done that here. And what she actually does is there's a little
That's a
bold statement. I don't know what's next to it.
I never do.
I think there's like some kind of like...
Oh, there's a... It's like a...
Picker
a
upper kind of thing. Yeah.
Gun.
It's a gun.
It's Leia's gun.
Oh, is it?
It's Leia's gun.
Oh, that's wild.
Right, yeah. All right, well, points to Sean.
I'm feeling very jealous of you. I haven't brought any of my Star Wars memorabilia to uni because it's just too much effort to... you've actually made me miss my childhood bedroom with all of my Star Wars crap everywhere, basically. Oh, that's good.
I love it. Anyway, Sean, back to the question.
Yeah, so really embarrassingly, I'm struggling to think of something that like is really quirky or something that you really might not have heard of, but most of the kind of information and knowledge that I gained from the programme was surrounding around what you should do when you're out campaigning, like how to improve your canvassing skills, how to, you know, what to say on the doorstep, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And I thought I knew what I was doing naively, but turns out no, there was a lot to learn, and I'm sure that there still is a lot more to learn from this. You know, it's a constant learning experience. But yeah, that just honestly the experience that I got from sitting in those sessions with other Labour members and just kind of talking about what the best ways are to kind of get out on the doorstep, what to say to residents, like, you know, how to ask them about what matters to them and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's just been a really invaluable learning experience. Yeah. So if you get the opportunity to sign up for, because I know it's happening again, 2022-2023 year FCP, please put your name forward, because I honestly didn't think I'd get accepted, and I did, and I'm sure that you would too. So yeah,
I really don't want to cheapen the experience in any way, but because you said, you know, knowing what to say on the doorstep, what I'm interested in, because I never know what to say when I open the door. I change it every single time I go to a door. I think, what is your go-to introduction? Let's say you're campaigning in your hometown. What is the thing that you go for when you're going up to your first door? What's the kind of the default, I suppose?
Oh, she's under pressure. It's pressure.
This is lots of pressure. This is where all of your learning is coming in, Sean.
Yeah.
No one's grading you and no one's listening.
Well, I guess this is a little insider into Sean as a campaigner. So congratulations on hearing this. Yeah, I kind of just... I mean, I do kind of waddle up to most doors, so if I'm honest. I'm quite an anxious person, so yeah, I'm sort of like...
Sorry, I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Just to clarify for the podcast, when Sean said the word waddle, she actually almost waddled, but like on a Zoom.
Like a little penguin.
I get to actually meet Sean, but now you better waddle up to me when I see you, mate. Otherwise, I'm not going to know. When the Left Wingers unite, we've got to do a little waddle.
Oh,
that's a TikTok.
Gosh.
You should do that.
That really got me. Sorry, carry on.
When they eventually do open the door, if they do open the door, because usually with me it's a case of ring the doorbell, knock, no one comes. I've even had people look out of windows, visit, like look me in the eye and then just go. And I'm like, what is it about me that's so repulsive? Because it doesn't seem to happen to other people.
No, that's rubbish. Yeah. It happens to everyone. It's because they don't know you. That's why.
If they do come to the door, I usually go with the typical rhetoric of, hi, I'm Sean, I'm from Stoke Labour Group, just knocking on the door today to promote a local candidate and then tell them about him, or, you know, whatever it is that we're there for. I usually try and crack a joke, and it always goes bad. They either don't understand the joke, which is, you know, on me, or they're sort of like, oh, okay, and then do like a fake laugh, which makes me feel worse.
No.
So it just, yeah, I'm not a very good campaigner, but I think going through the Future Transits programme has given me a little bit more confidence on my doorstep.
Yeah. Kathleen, what would yours be when you waddle up to the doorstep?
Yeah, no, I don't waddle though. what I found a couple of times actually when I was out door knocking for the May elections was that people, like Sean would say, would kind of look out the window or would open the blind and look at you and then close it again. But I think that's just because I kind of come down to the fact that they just didn't recognise you. Like, and I think they would open the door if they recognise you and or you're an Amazon or like you're a delivery and you've got, and they're expecting a delivery and you've got something in your hand. And if you just have leaflets, it's not the same. But my thing tends to be is like, if you speak to them, give them the leaflet straight away as quick as you can. And then if you do that, then you can talk to them more while they look at it. So within like the first 15, 20 seconds of introducing myself, I kind of introduce the candidate and hand them the leaflet with the candidates. If there's like a face or a logo or something or like a thing, then we do that. So that's kind of my tip. And also I would say like you have on the doorsteps, and Sean and Brandon, please agree or disagree, but you really only have about 30 seconds to interrupt somebody's day. And then I think you know, to be fair, like if you're not political, why on earth would you want to talk to a canvasser? Like any time I've been canvassed by any other political party, I've just been so bored. I just open the door and I'm like, no. But obviously I'm a canvasser, so I pay them the attention and I listen to what they have to say. And I'm very like, oh, I'm very sorry, I'm a Labour member, but thank you so much and have a great day. And I'm very polite, but in my head, I'm just like, see ya, slam the door. So, you know, I think that's kind of one of those things.
I think it's about kind of knowing when your time is up as that canvasser as well, because I think some people get tempted to like try and draw out a conversation, whereas I'm the opposite. I think I let the person who I'm talking to talk too much. That's my issue, because if they're talking with me about something that's really personal to them, I genuinely as a person don't want to interrupt them as part of this kind of data collecting exercise. Like I genuinely want to stand there and have a full chat with them. And I think that's my difficulty, not necessarily knowing when to go, but kind of how do you stop those really heartwarming or concerning conversations that you have to move along to the next door. Like that's my biggest issue, I think, because there's just been so many times where I've seen the canvassing group disappear over the horizon as I've got talking to somebody who's, you know, really interesting, has a lot of really interesting things to say. So I think that's my kind of issue.
And if you are looking for some experience to sharpen or to learn new door knocking skills or canvassing skills and come and meet some of the left wingers, we are definitely going to Wakefield at some point. As we've talked about on the show, there is a by-election there where the MP, the Tory MP has been kicked out. And we think because it was a Labour seat beforehand, we think Labour's candidate Simon Lightwood has a real chance of winning. But obviously we're not going to win without your support. These are one of those things where if we take this seat now, we're just a little bit closer to getting Kieran to number 10. And at the end of the day, that's what all the left wingers want. We want a Labour government that will work for you. So we're all going to be out the door. So at some point, we'll have to organise a time together, but I know I'll definitely be there. And I think Brandon and Sean live relatively nearby, so we'll pop in at some point as well. Either you might see all four of us together, or you might just see one of us at a time, but we'd love to see you out on the doorstep.
I mean, once uni is over for me, so I don't have very long left, but once it's over, I really have no excuse not to go, because my house is a 5 minutes walk from the constituency boundary. So like, I can't really get away with not going. So you will see me there. I'll be about. It'd be nice to have a wander around Shaky Wakey and to talk to some of the locals there about potentially voting Labour again if they didn't vote Labour last time. I think we've got a really strong candidate, and you know, to be fair, in by-elections, I think we are quite good at selecting candidates in general. But Simon's a really, really great guy, and I think he's got a lot to offer the people of Wakefield as their potential MP. And it's a lot easier to campaign for somebody when you really do believe in them as an individual, and that's something that I found from the Batley and Spen by-election in particular, when, you know, I was there for the party, of course, but also having that really great local candidate in Kim Leadbeater was just, you know, brilliant. It made the whole experience a lot better. It made it so much easier on the doorstep to say, actually, you know what, I personally am very invested in this particular candidate. And I think Simon's another one of those people who, you know, you can really get invested in because he's a great guy. And yeah, look forward to seeing you all there. Okay, so I think we can't get away with doing a Whinging Wednesday episode without talking about the Prime Minister that we have a shared misfortune to have running our country, Mr. Boris Johnson. It's just an ongoing disaster, really. And my predictions that he'd be out after the local elections that I made at the start of the year seem to be getting less and less likely. And this is why I hate making predictions in general. I hope that these pictures that have come out and the Grey Report will be the end of him. But I think I don't think many people in the front bench are going to resign over this because they've stuck around for so long and said so much, you know, rubbish to defend him that I think they would struggle to justify resigning now as opposed to not before. And the same with a lot of Conservative MPs. I'm surprised that we haven't had the threshold for letters to the 1922 committee yet. And I don't know how much of a difference that will make, unless they are being told, you know, in the back rooms that it's not as bad as we're expecting, the Sue Gray report and potential things that could come out in the future. I don't know how, as a person, he can continue because he has no moral authority at all. And, you know, everybody votes the way that they do for their own personal reasons, but I cannot. If I was a Conservative voter, I wouldn't be able to justify voting for the Conservatives under his leadership. Obviously, I would say that. But having said that, I think this might be it for him. I really hope that he's not around for the next year. I really hope this is it.
Just to pick up on Brandon's point, yes and no. Yes, we've covered this on the podcast several times. Yes, this is absolutely terrible. Yes, we can completely explain this behaviour. No one's really surprised anymore. It's just dragged on and dragged on and dragged on. No, he's probably not going to go anywhere. He's probably going to be the Prime Minister now when it comes to the election. I'm really sorry, chaps. I think that is the case. But I think the British people have begun to have enough of him. And he's one of those things where if you can just get the charm off him, which I think we're doing, I think over a long period of time, we will be able to defeat him. So I was worried for a period of time because I thought this Passgate thing, he would be the COVID Prime Minister and then they'd put Truss in charge and then she would just go off and, you know, she wouldn't take the blame for it because she'd never had any of the parties and she could kind of, you know, bury her head in the sand and crack on with a massive agenda and people would forget and move on. But that's not the case. Anyway, so I don't think that's going to be the situation. I think, unfortunately for Liz Truss, the leadership ambitions have got to wait for a little bit of time. But luckily, but Boris Johnson, he's going to be the Prime Minister now until the next election. I think that means we're better off to defeat him because he's marred with these stains now and they're not going anywhere. I just am really keen and clear that I desperately want the entire Sue Gray report to be released. Not like a bit of it for national security. I want all of it to be released. And I think it's really important that that happens. And if for any reason that didn't happen, I think that would be really serious for our democracy.
Oh, you know, I can come out with all the, oh, I'm furious. I'm so shocked and angry, but I'm not shocked. But none of us are shocked because this is just like, you know, this is a slow news day now. Like, this is common, and we're all sick of it. And you know, after one kind of just little Partygate snippet in the news, like that was enough for me. But how many are we down the line now? And you know, and we're still getting more revelations of more things, more pictures, more videos. You know, and it's just kind of going on and on beyond belief, really. But yeah, no, I'd come here and I'd be like, you know, say how furious and frustrated I am. And I am those things, but this has gone on for so long now. And like you've both said, I mean, I think the British people really are just about starting to have enough of him. And yeah, I do think that maybe he might just like linger on and cling to that number 10 door until the next election comes. But I'm pretty confident and hoping that I don't jinx it, but I am pretty confident in saying that I don't think the British public will head to the polling stations at the next election and put their faith in him and his party again, because he's kind of gone from bad to worse. You know, he's like a sinking ship. So, yeah, fingers crossed we're okay. But no, I really don't have any words on it, if I'm honest with you. I mean, it's just a big wow. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. So, yeah, but who's surprised? I'm not.
No, I think one of the things that will cut through is the combination of the one rule for them and the one rule for the rest of us. I think that side of Partygate will cut through, but I think it's going to be more effective when we start to experience, I mean, you know, we're already experiencing, but especially once the cost of living crisis gets worse, as it seems to be, you know, the energy cap gain boosted massively today. I think once we see that cost of living crisis get worse, then it's not only one rule for them, one rule for everybody else, but it's also they are not in touch with the common person at all. And I think those two things, and they're not in touch with common experiences. So those two things working together for me, I think, will make for a very effective message come the next election. I'm just over him. I'm sick of him. He's I don't think about him anymore. I don't think about you, honey. Like, I don't.
I know.
Like, I
can't believe he's still around. It's like Trump. It's like, oh, for God's sake, just get out of the news with you, mate.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for. A big thank you to you for joining us again today.
If you enjoyed listening to us, please subscribe to this podcast to be notified when our new episodes come out. We also have a mailing list called the Left Wingers Community, which you can join using the link in the episode description. Likewise, you can keep in touch with us using the links in our social media, which are also in the description. If you send in a good review, we'll definitely read out.
Keep whinging, come join us for canvassing in Wakefield, and we'll see you all soon.